That utilizes an FDA-approved tourniquet to reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow-restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high-intensity workouts, including pre- and post-surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views. Actions and reactions. Your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
Welcome to Saturday Morning Sports Talk. I'm Greg Ray, Tim Miller, and Dylan Sherwood, driven by LongbineAuto.com. Also joined in studio by Emporia High Girls Basketball Coach Carolyn Dorsey and Boys Basketball Coach Lee Baldwin. And rough night last night for the Emporia High basketball teams at the, what'd you call it last night?
It's the House of Blues.
It was the House of Blues last night for the Emporia High basketball teams as they lose to Washburn Rural on the road, coming off of tournament weeks, and now it's the month of February, and this is where everything gets ultra serious, I guess you could say, is start the focus of postseason play, sub-state play, where you're going to be seated, where you're going to be ranked, and all that kind of stuff starts to become even more in focus. We'll start off today with Emporia High Boys Basketball Coach Lee Baldwin, whose team last night ends up on the short end of the scoreboard, 50-42. And listening to the game last night, and you're up by 10 at one time, up by 12, I think, at one time in the ballgame. I'm thinking, okay, hey, this is going to be a pretty good night for the Emporia High Boys Basketball team. Unfortunately, they forgot there were 16 minutes of a second half that needed to be played because the first half, your ball club seemed to be in control, but the second half seemed to belong to Washburn Rural. Overall, how'd you feel about the way the guys played last night?
I mean, it was a mix of thoughts, really. I mean, when we got up to that lead, we were shooting it really well, and I knew that that wasn't sustainable. We were up four at half. I thought we should have been up by at least nine. Got a couple offensive rebounds there in the second quarter. Had a couple live ball turnovers that turned into baskets for them. We started dribbling a lot. When we dribble a lot, turnovers are coming. And last 2 minutes of the first half, we dribbled too much. So the lead got down to four when I thought it should have been nine or higher. And in the second half, I think, can be wrapped up in two things. They had the best player on the floor, and they got nine offensive rebounds in the second half. And six of those led to scores. And I hate to make it that simple, but that's really what the second half was about.
Yeah, you mentioned to me about Jack Batchelor, who had a really good second half. You held them to three in the first half, which I thought – was really good, especially with you guys up four. But then he and then Caden Ballard started going off, and then Conklin, Wyatt Conklin, and then J.C. Heim, they were finding ways to shoot the three and get a lot of offensive rebounds and for some putbacks. And you don't want to break down a team. And you mentioned in post-game to me, you guys need to – keep 12 in front of you guys, and he got loose every time.
Yeah, it's frustrating because if you went and watched that game, it would look like that we did not talk about how good 12 is or where we need to locate him in our zone. I mean, it was two spots, the slot and the corner. And we talked about that extensively for a week. So that's really frustrating because every time he caught the ball, he made us pay. And we talked about it in every timeout, every dead ball situation. At halftime, we said he's got three at halftime. He's going to come out. He's going to be really aggressive. We can't even let him catch. And we just had a lot of mental breakdowns in our zone, and he made us pay for it severely. And there was a couple other guys that we did not guard. We wanted to let them shoot. And outside of Batchelor, our first shot defense was good enough to win. But when you give up nine offensive rebounds in the second half, it's pretty tough to beat anybody.
I think there were two on one possession. I think they missed a three, then they missed, and then they missed at the rim too, and then the Heim kid put it back up and in. But I got to ask you, I didn't ask you this last night, but something that I was noticing on the offensive end of the floor in the second half, they were containing you guys inside the perimeter. What was kind of the struggles there trying to feed the ball inside, because they weren't trying to give you any easy looks inside?
Well, they run a pack line defense, so they will let you reverse the ball, but they're really going to gap everything up and try to keep you in front of them. And, I mean, they're a really good defensive team. I mean, they held Wichita Heights to 39 points. So we don't have the guys capable of getting off the bounce and getting to the basket outside of Jalen, or to create shots for other people off the dribble. So we have to manufacture offense through passing, screening, moving them horizontally to get them in a long closeout. So in that pack line defense, if you are not able to put the ball on the floor and get to a gap and draw a double team, it gets pretty difficult because they just clamp down on those gaps. So when we ran our ball screen stuff, when we got the ball to the middle, I thought their length and their strength just walling us up. We missed a lot of two-footers in the second half short, and I think that comes down to a strength issue. And it's clear that Heim, I think he lives in the weight room. That kid was a monster, so he really hurt us in the second half.
There's a reason why he was a first-team All-Centennial League linebacker this past fall.
That kid's massive.
I put my notes on the kids that played football, and noticing him with him being a first team All Centennial League linebacker, and he was really good.
Yes, they've got a really good team.
And I guess that was a big game last night as well. There's a 3-way tie at the top of the Centennial League standings with you guys, Rural, and Junction City. And I was paying attention to the Junction City Topeka High game. Topeka High had them down, I think, at least 8 early. And I'm like, man, is Junction City going to lose this game? Because, I mean, Rural and Junction City play each other on Tuesday night. Did you keep that aside, knowing that anything can happen with whatever happened in last night's game, knowing that some special things could happen?
I really wasn't focused on trying to win a league title or anything like that. Based off our schedule, I just want to be playing well and try to get a home game for the postseason. Losing last night, I think that ship has sailed for winning a league title. I don't envision Washburn losing more than once the rest of the year, and that's fine. I'm okay. That's not really important to me. What's important to me is, when we play games against good teams in crunch time, we have to have more guys on the floor that are willing to go get a rebound and not freeze up offensively. And I think in the fourth quarter, when it got tight and their crowd got into it, we had some guys with some wide eyes and really didn't want any part of the ball. And with as many close games as we're going to have to play the rest of the year, we got to find the right five that are willing to lose some blood and some skin and lose a body part to go get a rebound. And we didn't do that. And then the whole fourth quarter, we had a lineup out there with one guy over 6 foot. So that's not ideal in the fourth quarter against a really good team.
Your team had really did have a week to get ready for this game, having played a little over a week, I guess it is, to get ready, because the last time you played was on a Tuesday night at Manhattan, a game that your ball club came away with a win in. That long of a break this time of the season, I know you're not looking for excuses, but sometimes you don't get into that game gym situation. You kind of lose kids kind of lose the focus of, okay, this is what we have to do to keep winning good games and against tough teams like this.
I don't think any coach would say, hey, let's take a 9-day break in late January. That's never ideal. But that's not why we lost last night, in my opinion. I think the reason why we lost was there was a two-minute stretch at the end of the third and the fourth quarter where every 50-50 ball and every tough play went to them. And every time it did, they scored. And late in the game when we're down five with 40 seconds left, if we get two of those defensive rebounds, it's a 1 or 2 point game versus five. And then we don't have to foul as quickly when we're pressing. We can get one or two traps and get the ball to 12 hands. So, you know, our guys were upset, but I think a lot of the reason we lost that game was self-inflicted. We did it to ourselves by just not getting a rebound. And we did not guard zero. And when he shot a couple threes at the top of the key, the ball bounced right back into the middle of the paint. And we had four guys in the middle of the paint. And when you have four guys in the paint on an offensive rebound, your odds of getting it should be pretty high, and we didn't do that. So, unfortunately, when you play really good teams like that, your margin for error is very, very slim. And just a couple of plays like that were the microcosm of the fourth quarter.
Well, you have, what, Hayden coming up on Tuesday, and who's on Friday?
Topeka High
at home. So a couple opportunities to get the ship headed in the right direction for the stretch run of the season.
Yeah, another opportunity to get better. I mean, we're not playing bad. We have shown that we're capable of competing with some of the best teams in our area or at the 5A level. But as I told our guys last night, I'm not really into the moral victory and playing teams close type of thing. Like, we're here to win. And that's the name of the game. Until they take the scoreboards off there, it's the purpose of out here is to win. And whether teams are bigger, stronger, those are just all excuses. We got to find a way to beat teams that are better than us. And that's just the reality of the situation. We've got to beat teams that are better than us. And the only way to do that is to be tougher and be locked in mentally for 32 minutes. And if you don't do those two things against better teams, then you're going to lose. So, you know, we're going to play a team on Tuesday that's going to want to I would say that they're going to be extremely motivated to not get swept by us this year at their place. So we're going to have to be ready to go on Tuesday, or it could end up the same way.
And regardless of talent levels, the things that you talk about are things that every individual player can improve on.
Absolutely, and I think at that point it boils down to how much does an individual player care, or how much are they willing to get better. We shot it well last night for at least in the first half. That's the best we've shot it all year. So hopefully our guys are still seeing that we have everything in front of us to play for, and we just got to get better at a few areas that we can control, which is the good thing. If our problem was, hey, we need to get more lob dunks off of back picks, or we need to block 12 shots a game, then we would be in trouble. But the things that we can improve on to get better are things that we can control, which I think is a good sign moving forward. So hopefully we can get those corrected.
I was about to ask you, that's going to be a motivated Hayden team who just beat Manhattan last night by 51-48.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure today at practice and on Monday they will make it really clear that we're not going to get beat by Emporia three times. So they will have their A game, especially at the start of the game, ready to go. So if we don't match their intensity level, it could be an early timeout.
Well, and hopefully you'll take a motivated bunch to Hayden. I mean, coming off the loss to Washburn Rule and the way they lost the game, I would certainly hope that your guys be motivated too.
I think we will. You know, we talk a lot about not being content. You know, they won four games last year. We're at 10 right now. The challenge is, when you've never won before, not to be satisfied with just, you know, being average. I mean, 10-10 or 11-9 is not something that that's not my goal. The goal, you know, for me every year is, are you playing in the second week of March? And that's my definition of a successful year or not. And the wins and losses are irrelevant to me. Are you playing late in March? And that, to me, is the definition of a good season. And if that's not the mindset of every kid playing basketball, then you got the wrong mindset. And we've got some areas we've got to get better at if we want to play in late March. But that should be the goal, and that's, you know, that's what you play for.
Well, Coach, go out, have a couple good days of practice, get ready for Topeka Hayden. Good luck against Topeka High and next Friday. That's the one for the Dean Smith Trophy?
I believe so. I believe you guys didn't play for it at the Dungeon, so that will be for the Dean Smith Trophy. So I know that trophy wants to get back here.
We'll try.
That's Emporia High boys basketball. Coach Lee Baldwin joining us here today on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We'll take our first break. When we come back, we'll visit with Lady Spartan Coach Carolyn Dorsey right after this timeout. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongpineAuto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. Last Saturday marked the final edition of the Big 12 SEC Challenge in men's Division I basketball. Starting next season, the SEC will switch the yearly challenge to the ACC. The final installment with the Big 12 saw four top 15 teams fall to unranked opponents. Most notably, the Oklahoma Sooners upset the second-ranked Alabama Crimson Tide 93-69. The win snapped a three-game losing streak for OU head coach Porter Moser's squad.
Just really happy for the guys. I think they were sick of me every game going, man, we're right there, let's go. I thought they played the right way. I thought they really played hard. I thought the crowd was unbelievable. I sat there when the crowd rushed the floor. I just sat there and just said, I mean, this is the vision.
The Big 12 claimed bragging rights in the final challenge with a 7-3 record on the day. Student-athletes that continue to inspire on and off the field. That's next on This Week in the NCAA.
Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
Of course I use Mr. Clean Magic Eraser to clean tough messes off my stovetop and bathtub. But then I discovered I can also use it to easily clean my patio furniture and even my shoes. I'm hooked!
And when wipes won't cut it, I use Magic Eraser Sheets. They're thin and flexible erasers, perfect for everyday messes, like gunk on my counters and sinks. They really are magical.
The reviews are in. Mr. Clean Magic Eraser and Sheets make cleaning look easy.
The winners of the NCAA TeamWorks Community Service Competition were announced recently. The honor recognizes student-athletes' service to their communities. The competition took place earlier in the academic year, with one winner being named from each NCAA division. The winners are calculated based on the number of service hours and student-athletes participating. The Miami Hurricanes are the D1 winner for the second time, having previously taken home the award in 2018. The Georgian Court Lions and the Lakers from Oswego State are the winners in D2 and D3, respectively. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com. Greg Ray, Tim Miller, and Dylan Sherwood. And now we bring in Emporia High girls basketball coach Carolyn Dorsey. And Last night, the Lady Spartans went up against Washburn Rural. Back and forth game. Ends up in overtime with Washburn Rural winning 45-39. And I don't know if you had a motivational talk with your girls during the second quarter. You were able to get it tied, and they had the lead after the third quarter of play. But unfortunately, the last 8 minutes plus the overtime, which is what, 5 minutes?
Four, Greg.
4 minutes, okay.
Gave it away in four.
4 minutes, that's the last 12 minutes, Washburn Rural kind of flexed their muscles.
Yeah, I didn't have anything motivating to say. You know, I think that was the difference, is we have kids that are good kids and good basketball players, but, man, it takes a special kid to know how to win down the stretch and make a play down the stretch. And honestly, of our three losses, again, we've lost three games for a total of 10 to 12 points, I think. And this is frustrating as a coach, and it's part of being young with less experience, but it's not okay. They don't know how to win still. Man, when you have them on the ropes, you deliver that final blow, and we don't have kids that can do that still. And that's frustrating because we ran 10 different sets. We run three different offenses. There's nothing else I can put in that, A, we can remember, and B, execute to get them a basket. And when it came down to it, the last 4 minutes, we didn't score. We didn't have a kid that could get to the rim. We didn't have a kid that could hit a shot. We didn't have a kid that could hit a free throw. We didn't score. And that's why you lose to this Washburn Rural. You can't not score for 4 minutes and think you're going to win up there.
I told you off air, if you and I had a nickel for every close loss at Washburn Rural, we'd be a little wealthier. You guys have been so close there. You think about all those times where it's been single digits, and as a matter of fact, and a real opportunity to beat them going down the stretch, and just couldn't get it done.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, part of that, like I told you off air, man, Kevin's a great coach, and he gets to me every time. When we win, it's the kids. You know, we all know that. As a coach, you take all the blame when you lose. I mean, you shouldn't, but that's where most people point their fingers. But he always gets me. And as a competitor in me, it drives me insane. I love the guy to death. Like I said, he was coaching when I was playing. He's always treated me well and my program well. And but at the end of the day, we got to have kids make plays too. And I don't know how else to manufacture that. I can't give some of these kids more opportunity than what they're getting. We drew plays for kids, didn't finish. We got them to the free throw line, didn't make them. We got steals and had breaks, turned it over. I mean, I don't know what else to do on some of those. And that's frustrating, you know. We stay up all night racking our brains about it, and we're always close. We're always really okay. And that's what, you know, Coach Baldwin said it too. I said it to Dylan on my 2-minute rant last night. I don't like to celebrate morality. I want to win, and I want to be the best. And right now we're not the best, and that kills me. And I want to be in an environment that supports us wanting to be the best. And, you know, we're not that right now, and that's frustrating.
Well, and typically, though, when you play Washburn Rural, and it happened to Coach Baldwin last night, typically, at least the times that we've seen Washburn Rural over the years, they've had the best player on the floor.
Oh, of course.
That makes obviously a pretty big difference. As a matter of fact, Batchelor on the boys' side beat him last night. We saw Batchelor on the girls' side, who was a pretty fair player, and now they have more of them.
Oh, so
thanks for the reminder.
That's okay. I'm here for reminders.
Appreciate
it. Yeah, in case you forgot.
Yeah, just in case.
As Greg said, the kid's pretty good.
Yeah.
It was obvious.
Well, and they've had great kids throughout their history.
Oh, of course. And, you know, their best kid is torn ACL sitting on the bench right now. And, you know, I told Kevin before the game, I just said, man, nobody felt bad. You know, I love the Canfield girl's a good girl. I have nothing but respect for Washburn Rural. Like I said, their admin treat us well. Everything about them is class act. But I told him, I said, no offense. This is our chance. We have a chance because you don't have three Division I athletes on the court right now. You only have one or two. And he kind of laughed, and I'm like, it's a whole different breed. You know, we don't have Division I athletes, and I like the kids, and they're good kids, and they'll run through the wall for you, but they're not D1 athletes, and some of them are going to have a hard time getting to the D2 level, you know, and the boys talk about it too. We win because we play hard. We win because we pay attention to detail. We win because they don't quit, you know, which is what they should do anyway. That's not that big of a deal, but we don't have those kids, and when you're going up against Delay and the Gatorade two-time All-American going to contend, I mean, we battled, but in order to beat those teams, you can't have those little miscues, and we still have them. And unfortunately, like he talked about, the margin of error for us is so small. And right now, we're making those mistakes, and that's why you're not winning these close games.
And I know you didn't want Brooklyn Delade to have her control the game, but it was Chloe Carlgren who really was that second piece behind Delade, because Carlgren was right in Addie Kermer's face, and then it was like when Carlgren had the ball, it was Kermer on her, but Carlgren got loose and was diving for loose balls, and I know at one point she grabbed a loose ball and was on the floor, and then Darian Harris said that she traveled, and then she ended up getting it off. But she was a workforce last night, Chloe Carlgren.
Yeah, and what's unfortunate is I don't even know that name that well. And it's no disrespect to the kid. Man, Delay is Delay. She's a two-time Gatorade All-American. Yeah, she's going to get hers. You're crazy to think you're going to stop that kid. You know, and all we want to do is neutralize her, slow her down. And we did. Man, she hit some shots last night. Miller and I talked. I think she was literally horizontal, falling down, and that thing went in. And that's what you expect. She's going to Kentucky. She's a D1 athlete. But that kid, yes. And that's what hurt us, is those difference makers. And, gosh, it's so frustrating. And, you know, you mentioned the face guarding. You know, they face guarded Kermer late, which she only had 10, but they face guarded her because it flustered us. But get open. I mean, I'm sorry, but you've got to get open. And that's, and that with great power comes great responsibility. And if you're going to get face guarded, you've got to get open. You know, and we can screen and run things for you too. But man, at that point, it's one on one, me versus you, and you're going to be in my shorts. Man, I'm gonna watch. I'm gonna get open. I'm gonna get the ball. And we still don't have that yet from all the kids. And it's not just one person's fault. They all hid down the stretch. I'm so disappointed with the overtime, because I looked at them. I said, we got a second chance at life, and we ruined it. And that's so frustrating for the third time this year.
You go back to the Seaman loss, last second shot, yeah. And then last night. Is there – I mean – Do you feel like there's going to be more of a motivator for them, or are you concerned at all with the mental aspect of this now as these close games get lost the last few times?
I guess here's the thing with the mental aspect, and I'll talk about the Seaman loss real fast with that. Man, they hit a tough shot, the hardest shot in basketball, and that's you know what I mean? I can live with that. I don't think we could have guarded that any different. Last night, we kind of was deja vu, and I'm like, oh, God, you know, here we go again, and we guarded it. You know, so there was some carryover there. I thought we got it done. They didn't get the – now we gave up an offensive board and gave them a second chance, which infuriates me also, because that has to be – that's a little thing. And we have some kids right now not boarding the ball. You know, they want to play down the stretch, but where are you at on the glass? We got to have kids in there that can rebound. And right now I don't have five kids that I feel comfortable putting on the court that will rebound the ball late game. And that's hard to find. So going back to the mental aspect – I don't know what I was going to address on that, but I just don't think we're very tough mentally, and that's where I was going to go. People will say we're tough, and I think the write-up in the Topeka Sports Paper is super complimentary of our program and our kids. But, man, what's tough to me is getting that board down the stretch. What's tough to me is hitting free throws when you get fouled when the game is on the line. What's tough to me is when we don't run the play correctly, we call an audible, fix it, deal with it later, not pout on the court. And right now we have those things, and that is frustrating to me. And we're 12-3. You know, I know people are probably like, "Good Lord, she's uptight about it today." But man, we had a chance to be 15-0 right now. That's a feat unheard of in Emporia High athletics, and we gave those away. You know, not lost them. We gave them to them. They took them from us again because we don't do those things. You know, when things don't go our way, we panic. We lost a lot of leadership last year that was just calm as can be. Those kids were so smooth. Stuff would go wrong all the time, but you didn't know it. These guys, stuff goes wrong, and they have a meltdown. They're snipping at each other. They're frustrated. Their arms are out. It's so frustrating, and it's not okay. And that's what we're going to hammer on this next week.
And a big week coming up with Hayden at Hayden. Hayden is on a tear right now, Coach. And ever since losing to you guys, and then they lost to Rural, and then they beat Junction, and then they lost to Topeka High, they've won five straight, and they won handily over Manhattan last night by 16.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Yeah, I agree with you on all those things, but people need to understand we're a tear too. You know, our three losses are to some pretty good teams. We lose on a buzzer beater to the best. We lose to the number 4 and 6A, and we lose to Manhattan, which that was – we can't talk about that anymore. But We need to understand they got to play us. You know what I mean? And that's my mindset right now. I'm tired of being the David versus Goliath, being the little person. We're the big dog right now, and they have to play us. And I respect Hayden and their coach. They're phenomenal. And I think they're playing really well. That being said, if we don't play well, they'll beat us. But we need to get the mindset more from our competitors, a competitor mindset. I'm not scared of you. We're going into your place, and you have to face us, gosh darn it, and we're tired of it. And that's where I'm at right now, you know, and there's a difference between acting like it and actually doing it. And we've got to get those kids to do it, you know, otherwise you're right. Hayden will beat us. And that, you know, everything he said earlier, 3 times in 1 year, you don't think they'd love to beat us 1 out of 3? Yeah, they've got all the reasons to be motivated right now. But we need to dig our heels in and say enough is enough. We're going to handle business down the stretch because we're playing for postseason right now.
Well, and, you know, for both teams, I mean, you guys are playing for position. I mean, you're playing for seed now, and every game you play down the stretch now is ultra important.
Yeah, you're jockeying this whole entire time. You know, our girls laugh sometimes because I don't think they – you know, I get how I come across, man, but it's the games within the games. Everything's a competition to me, everything. And this entire time, yeah, they're 12-3. That's a heck of a year. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But that's not enough because we want a home game. We want to not have to play Andover or whichever Andover is doing good right now. I can't remember which one. I think it's Andover. I think they're both good. You know, they probably are. We don't want to have to play some of those teams. So everything we can do to have those teams play each other and knock each other out would be really helpful because, you know, when you look at the stretch, we talked last night, if you want to be at the state tournament or win a state title, you've got to have some really, really tough athletes and some Division I bodies and things like that, and we don't have that. Therefore, we have to be that much better and tougher, and until we get there, we're going to be a good team that did good this year, and that's not enough for us because it's not a moral victory.
Well, you also have Topeka High coming in on Friday night, so and for your basketball team, now, it is a, Tuesday, Friday night scenario the rest of the way. So, some great opportunities for your girls.
Well, yeah, and Friday night, if anybody in here thinks Kiki's not coming to get revenge, you're crazy. You know, that's just the mindset of a competitor. So, man, against Topeka High, we got them once. We played great. But, man, to emulate that 2 times is going to be ridiculously tough. We could lose out a lot of games here if we don't lace them up and get after it. But what I'm the most frustrated with is our body language. It's not okay. And I am very disappointed in how we respond to adversity. Because our job is to produce kids that are successful outside of basketball. You know, of course you want to win games. The big picture is what you coach, change lives, whatever. Man, but if they don't handle adversity a heck of a lot better than how they handle it right now, they won't make it in life. And life is cruel and it's tough. And, man, right now what I'm seeing is not a group that, man, I would feel confident going into the real world saying, you got this, you can handle it, because they just melt still. And you've got to be tougher than that. And Topeka High will bring it. You don't think they're going to try to punch us early. And we got one coming there too.
And you're going to need a crowd on Friday night too.
Yeah, our crowd's been great. I'm very pleased with the support of our crowd. But yeah, that's going to be a tough game. So we've got 2 big ones this week and 2 games we could possibly lose if we don't compete. And I don't want to settle. I told the kids, we've had some really not talented teams go 12-8. That's not that impressive. That's cool. We've done that before. And that's where I don't want to be. So.
Well, good luck this week. Have a good couple days of practice. Good luck against Hayden. Good luck against Topeka High. And hopefully we have a little more positive stuff to talk about next
Sorry, guys.
Saturday.
Yep, no problem. Glad to be here.
That's Emporia High girls basketball coach Carolyn Dorsey putting it on the line on this Saturday morning. We'll be back to talk more on this Saturday morning sports talk. We're driven by LongmineAuto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
Not all mortgages are created equal. The local mortgage team at Emporia State Federal Credit Union can guide you from pre-approval to choosing the perfect loan product and completing the application, ultimately getting you into your home on time. When it's time to choose a lender for your home, go with the local mortgage leader who puts members first, Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Visit esfcu.com today to connect with our lenders. Equal housing lender, insured by NCUA.
NMLS number 424226.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday morning sports talk driven by LongbineAuto.com. Greg Ray, Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood, and we need to select our Main Street athletes of the week. And for Emporia High, do you have any?
Yeah, I had two, but I'm going to go to the boys' swim team. I'm going to go with Logan Wojak. He had a consideration time in the 100 free. Coach Jamie Dawson said he's been swimming really good right now. They're at a meet at Mays today, but Logan Wojak is our Emporia High Main Street Athlete of the Week.
And there was a performance last night by one of our area athletes. It didn't end up in a victory for his team. Allie Smith of Hartford High School had 35 points last night. Unfortunately, it was in a loss to Chase County, and I'm going to go with Allie Smith.
That would have been one. I was talking to Michael Deeker last night. He said Allie Smith dropped 35. That's not the first time Allie Smith has dropped 30 or more points in a game this year. So I would agree with you there.
So Allie Smith of the Hartford boys basketball team is our area athlete of the week. And, you know, sometimes you can have outstanding efforts and your team not end up on the positive side of things. And unfortunately for Allie, 35 points by him wasn't enough for them against Chase County. Of course, Chase County having a tremendous season in their own right. But congratulations to Allie and congratulations to Logan. And good luck to Logan today at Mays at the swim meet there. And hopefully his consideration time, maybe he'll get closer to the automatic time. And we're getting close to the end of the season now for Emporia High spring sports. The swim team is getting close to state time, and it's championship time now, though, for the wrestling teams. This week it's Centennial mm-hmm. League taking place this Saturday, today, at Junction City for both the boys and the girls. Next week it's the girls' regionals, mm-hmm. And then the following week it's boys' regionals, and then it's on to state, so we're getting close to that time of the year as well. So good luck to the Spartan wrestling teams today as they go after Centennial League championships. And with that, we say good morning to Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, who are Super Bowl bound for the third time in 4 years. Mitch Holtz's appearance made possible by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabella Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS 424226. My question for you, Mitch Holtz, when you were doing your mock play-by-play when you were a youngster in high school and dreaming about all the great games you were going to call, did you ever dream of being able to call four Super Bowl games in, or three Super Bowl games in the span of 4 years?
Greg, in a word, no. I think this, and Tim can probably jump in on this, being a lifelong childhood Chiefs fan, that this one goes past our most vivid of dreams or imagination. My prayer and hope was to win one and to see what that was like. And, you know, growing up on the farm in Smith County, Kansas, yeah, I would Imagine Games when I was a little kid when I saw the Chiefs won it back for Super Bowl IV. I thought, man, if I had won, and what's a parade feel like, and the Lord has blessed me having all that, but here we are again. And Super Bowl 55 was just weird with COVID. It's almost like that one didn't count, and that's not right to say, but it was just strange. This one will be full-fledged, full-on, and full of storylines. But to answer your question, Greg, no. In my best of dreams, I didn't dream this.
Well, and unfortunately, you think of all those years where it was so lean, and we thought, man, are the late 60s going to be the heyday of this organization, and that's going to be it? I mean, don't get me wrong, we had some decent teams with Marty Schottenheimer, but never got to this pinnacle, and now we're actually experiencing the best in Chiefs football history right now.
Right now. And, Tim, and we've talked about this for months here now, we're not only experiencing some of the best in Chiefs history, we're truthfully having snippets here and there of the best of National Football League history. This franchise and this team and Andy and Mahomes and Kelce are doing things that have been many things that have been unprecedented in the history of the league. And it's happening right in front of us right here. It's not happening in Los Angeles, and we're not seeing it from 1,500 miles away. It's right here. I mean, it's right here in the backyard of Melvern and every other team in the Lyon County League. It's all right here. It's pretty amazing.
Where does the performance by Patrick Mahomes against the Bills rank in terms of his playoff performances in your mind?
Well, I'd almost have to categorize them, because to be resilient in Super Bowl 54 and to continue to be resilient in that whole 2019 run and 2020, to be resourceful in what he did against the Bills. But this one is, I don't have an R word for courage and toughness. Just maybe relentless. I just put these in different categories. That was, man, when I talked to you guys a week ago, there was real doubt whether Travis Kelce was going to play. I didn't think Mecole Hardman was going to play. I didn't know if Juju Smith-Schuster was going to play. They all had injuries that were prior. But looking at Patrick Mahomes, I knew he was going to play, but I didn't know what kind of effectiveness he would have. And then during the game, to lose Kadarius Toney, Hardman tries to play, he's out. Juju tries to play, he's out. You're down to Justin Watson's out, illness. You're down to Sky Moore, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and Marcus Kemp. That's it. That's all you got. And then with the tight ends, just to do what he did, the pain he played through, the toughness he showed, the guts on that last play. And at the end, I was thinking, I was even doing postgame with Matt McMullen going, it's not a glitzy stat game. And he's like, well, he threw for over 300 yards. And I didn't even realize that. It was just all the fortitude that he showed to pull it off. So to say it's number one, number six, I mean, he's got, what are we at, 10 playoff wins with him, which is pretty crazy. In 5 years as a starter, I just put him in categories, but this one is by itself as far as being relentless.
Yeah, I just thought it was his most guttiest performance.
Yes, I agree.
It was just incredible what he did based upon how you felt like he was physically going into that game.
No question. Now, I will tell you this. He was experiencing as much or more pain in Super Bowl 55. Remember, that's when he had the toe injury, and he has talked about that since in, like, a private manner of, like, guys, you have no idea what that felt like. And so he might have been just a shade more pain in Super Bowl 55, but to play with a high ankle sprain, you know, a week later and to win a game like that against that opponent, well, that's the stuff of legend.
Well, I'm pretty confident I know what is number one. And that's just rookie class that they have on this football team. What an incredible group that they were able to bring in through the draft.
Again, if people follow the reports that I do with Greg during the training camp, and if they've listened to these Saturday morning sports talk discussions for the last 6 months or 5 months after camp, we've alluded to these guys. We've referred to these guys. It said it's a unique group. You'd hire all of them. But I didn't know where it was going to go, Tim. I didn't know how manifested it would be of these guys. The Chiefs tied an all-time NFL record. Here we go again with more NFL history in playing 8 rookies on defense and special teams in a conference championship game. They tied the 1988 Chicago Bears and the 2013 New England Patriots. And all of those guys had significant impact. We can talk about resiliency and Sky Moore on the punt return after being the GOAT earlier in the year, like we're watching, you know, we're binge-watching some series like Ted Lasso on Paramount. And then he comes back with this punt return. But on the punt return, go back and look at it. When you get done with the show today, go back and look at that punt return and watch who made the blocks. Rookie, 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 rookie. Odarius Harris, rookie, rookie. Even Jack Cochran, rookie, who's the undrafted rookie out of South Dakota. They made all the key blocks to get Sky Moore that punt return to put the Chiefs in position. And then on offense, to have Pacheco do what he's done. I mean, what a class. And you build on this class, you put another one with it, and as Andy Reid would say, you just roll on. But yeah, right, man, I'm glad you brought it up because these guys have lived up to the prophecy that the four of us discussed even in the summer and for sure during training camp.
Well, I'm sure we'll talk about the matchup down the road, but isn't this kind of what we expect? I mean, it just kind of felt like these two teams were on a collision course to meet in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and both very good teams. I mean, the storylines here are just numerous, and we can get more into the weeds of this game when I talk to you a week from today, when we go through the week in Glendale and the Phoenix area. But Philadelphia is really good. And, yeah, now that you look at them and you know, I've kind of crop-dusted over there. I haven't done the deep dive into them because it's been a crazy week. But our coach has done the deep dive into them, and so has our coaches. This has been a big week. I was going to get to that in a second, how big this week is for Super Bowl 57, this bye week, so to speak. But the Philadelphia Eagles have no weaknesses. There is no weaknesses. They are incredible on the defensive line, good linebackers, good DBs. Hurts is playing at a higher, much higher level than when we saw when we played him a year ago in September of 21. The A.J. Brown trade was big for them. Goddard's a good tight end. 4 running backs. Very similar, I think, to the Chiefs in the way that the Chiefs adjusted to the way that they're doing things offensively now. These two teams are 1-2 and completions of 20-plus yards. But they don't have, you know, the Jamar Chase wide receiver. But they've got a collection of guys. When you take tight ends, running backs, and receivers, Chiefs and Eagles are mirror images.
Mitch, I was going to bring up, you know, for the rookie class, you know, how do they just kind of savor this moment knowing that they're playing in the Super Bowl during their rookie season, and how's just kind of the veterans just kind of telling them, you know, got to keep your composure and know that there's still one more game ahead and with the Lombardi Trophy on the line?
Dylan, it's a phenomenal question because in the 56 previous Super Bowls, truthfully, the team that can minimize the distractions, that keeps its focus with all of the glitz and the glory around them, is the team that usually wins. Now, we've talked about elite quarterbacks, and Tom Brady won in 7 of these, but Tom Brady stayed on focus, and the Patriots were able to handle the preparation weeks up to that game and then to handle the game itself, which has grown into something that's like intergalactic. Living through Super Bowl 54 and seeing what goes into it in a non-COVID year, this week is nothing but distractions. These rookies who we've been talking about here will be put on a stage that they never probably dreamt about, or if they did, they didn't know what it was going to look like. Every day is a distraction. There is stuff coming from these guys every day when we get wheels down tomorrow in Phoenix. To take the, and here's where I think the biggest advantage for the Chiefs in this game is, and that is Andy Reid. Not just X's and O's and trying to figure out a way to move the ball on a great Philadelphia defense, but it's handling the week, handling the days, handling the time, handling the off time where you do have free time, and what do you do with it, and how do you do it? this week has been vital in putting in the game plan and getting our team back as healthy as can possibly be to get on that plane tomorrow morning. Next week is going to be about handling everything. Now, this team, Dylan, has been able to handle a myriad of challenges that was put in front of them from the very beginning. This is a whole new challenge. This is whole big-time different. And you can get washed away either in the glory of it and being surrounded by motion picture people show up. But this is like having the Olympic Games all wrapped up into a week. And there's all of this media every day. At our hotel, there's a media event every day. And then they get to chase them out of there. But they're coming from all over the world. It is so easy to get caught up in it, swept away, that it takes your focus off the main thing, which is winning Super Bowl 57. And being such a young team, it's easy to see how this could unravel. But my hope is here in Andy Reid and his staff to keep these guys focused on the task in front of them, the rookies especially.
Now, Mitch, I have some Chiefs fans who aren't talking about the Eagles. They're not talking about potential injuries, who will play and who won't play. Their biggest concern is the fact that Carl Sheffers will be a part of the officiating crew. Is that a concern for Chiefs fans?
Did you ever? Maybe we talked. Did we talk about this? The movie What About Bob? With Richard Dreyfuss and Bill Murray. Remember that one? It's awesome. And Dylan, if you haven't seen it, man, we're generationally taking you some other place, but go find it. Go find it. Netflix, Hulu, find it and watch it, and you'll laugh. But it's the psychiatrist that has the patient that, you know, so endeared to him, but he, within 400 yards or a half mile of Bill Murray showing up, Richard Dreyfuss starts to convulse. I've been dealing with that. When you say Carl Sheffers, if I'm just driving down the turnpike and you said Carl Sheffers, I might have an accident. He has brought some of the most ignominious moments to the Andy Reid era of the Chiefs. Every talk about Joe Burrow and the Bengals. No, it's Carl Sheffers. And time again, and here he is again, after he worked Super Bowl 55, the holding call against Fisher to stop the two-point conversion in the 2016 divisional playoff, narrow 18-16 loss to the Steelers. And then, you know, some of the most penalized games we've had is with this guy. I'm somewhat mystified he's getting this game again, but let's go back to Dylan. This becomes a distraction. This can't get in the way of you winning the game. And if Carl's Carl again, you got to somehow kind of fight through it. But I can't just buzz and go, oh, no, you know, I don't think about Carl Sheffers at all. I'm in therapy on it. So hopefully my therapy will work this week and we can beat the Eagles.
Well, yeah, because it's just incredible some of the – I mean, you know, of course, you know, the sports world has stats for virtually everything. And you look at some of the you know, the two Chiefs games that he's done this year and what percent of the penalties he accounts for and the penalty yardage and all that. It's like, my guy, I can't believe they even keep track of this kind of stuff. But the amazing thing is it's pretty significant when you start looking at it.
Yeah, and it's empirical. It's not we're not sitting here fabricating these stats or thinking it up or making it up. It's there. I mean, that's just fact. And you're like, what's going on here? And was it the Buffalo game where they had him on his open up his mic and he's crying because of the crowd? They're like, he's not crying. I don't know what, but it doesn't sound right. But yeah, I mean, these are the most. How does a Chiefs team, which has been very good in minimizing penalties, get like 10 penalties on this one game? And it just seems to be a coincidence with him. So let's just kind of push through it. But yes, if the Chiefs win Super Bowl 57 and we have a parade again, then the biggest obstacle may indeed be Carl.
Well, we know who won't be invited to the parade.
Yeah, no, he won't be there, I don't think. If I got anything to say about it, Lord loves him, Lord loves everybody, and I need to love my enemies. I got it. I know I'm not very good at it. But you know what, Carl? I'll get you something else to do. You know, you can go to go to Oktoberfest in Hayes or something. I mean, you ain't going to be in this parade.
Yeah. Well, Mitch, as always, we appreciate your time. Looking forward to next week's show where you can really begin breaking down this football game and talk about these two great teams and what certainly will be built up as to a great game. And just enjoy the week, and we'll talk to you again next Saturday.
This does have the vestiges of being an awesome game, Tim and Greg and Dylan. I just hope Carl does. It's like walking into this beautiful wedding reception, and there's the beautiful bride and the handsome groom, and Carl walks in with a quart of motor oil and pours it on the wedding cake. Like, what are you doing, man? This is a beautiful moment. Don't jack it up.
Don't ruin it.
Don't ruin it. But who's got the motor oil? Get out of here. anyway, thanks for bringing up Carl Sheffers and ruining my morning, but that's okay. I'm pushing.
Well, Mitch, Dylan, try to have a good rest of your weekend.
Well, Dylan, I ain't leaving. I'm Carl. Greg, we ain't leaving this show until I get some toots here. I got to get on the plane with some whistles and tape it. If you're going to be gone next week, put it on tape, hand a thumb drive to Greg, and go, here, this is what I'm not here in the flesh, but I'm here in spirit.
I will be here next week. I will be here. So you want one? Because you're getting ready to go on a plane tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
All righty. Woo, 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 woo,
woo. And that's awesome.
Thank you.
Let's go. Carl Sheffers is now my best friend. All right, we're good.
Big Carl Sheffers alert. The Chiefs are coming.
All right, boys.
Thanks, we'll Mitch.
See you, Mitch.
Okay. All right, so, yeah, we'll talk, obviously, with Mitch next week and break more of the game down as the Chiefs and Eagles set to face off in Super Bowl 57. Of course, this weekend we didn't talk anything about the Emporia State games that Greg has left to go call, as they are at Missouri Western today. Mm-hmm. The women with a very tall task. Missouri Western, very, very good. Hope they can keep their winning streak going. The guys trying to rebound off a loss at Northwest Missouri. So we'll have those games on Mix 104.9 today. I believe women tip off at
1:30
tip for the women, and then the men will follow. Of course, we have KU and Iowa State right here on KVOE AM. Early morning tip-off for the Jayhawks, 11 o'clock against the Cyclones. K-State, a huge game at home at Bramlage against Texas. That will be on Country 101.7 FM. I believe that's a 3:30.
Three o'clock. Yeah, so 2 o'clock.
So 2 o'clock pregame. So plenty of great basketball in the airwaves here today, right here on KVOE and, of course, across our station. So yeah.
Big weekend.
Looking forward to
it. Big weekend.
And, of course, Dylan, you'll be back on the air on Tuesday when Emporia High goes to Hayden.
So yeah, big ones again.
That will wrap things up for us. For our guest, Carolyn Dorsey and Lee Baldwin, of course, the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis. For Greg Ray and Dylan Sherwood, I'm Tim Miller saying tune in next week. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk driven by LombineAuto.com.
Since 1939, news, weather, and sports. KVOE, 1400 AM Emporia, 96.9 FM, K245BQ Emporia.
From ABC News, I'm Dave Packer, a Chinese.